Well, my guest tonight at the big table is a media mogul. Susan B. Noyes is the woman who founded Make It Better Media and the Make It Better Foundation. Make It Better is a network consisting of a magazine, a website, a newsletter, and it connects and covers the Chicago area. It's a media company that started as a website for women to connect all, I mean, to really be a place to serve all sorts of interests. But really, it's about making yourself better. But after purchasing North Shore Magazine back in 2009, Noyes and Make It Better have expanded to be more than just a website or a print magazine, but really an online community. And not just a media company, but a company that focuses on the concept of social entrepreneurship. Noyes is a lawyer, former lawyer, and Nutrier board member who also had a column in North Shore Magazine. She's also grown the Make It Better brand over time. She has now over a million page views a year, over 33,000 subscribers to the newsletter, 60,000 plus in print circulation. And this year celebrates the 10th anniversary. Wow. It's amazing to have a media company at 10 years. Make It Better. Susan B. Noyes is my guest tonight at the big table. Susan, thanks for joining me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invitation. Delighted to be here.
This is a site. I mean, it's amazing amount of numbers. I throw those numbers out, 33 here, 60,000 here, all the kind. I mean, when you started this, was that the intention? Was the intention to grow this to thousands and thousands of people around the Chicagoland area that are partaking in Make It Better?
When we started it, we hoped we would grow. We knew that we were launching a journey. It was, I had been told that when you do something online, you need to pay attention to the audience and what they want, and you give them more of what they want. And we just wanted to sort of figure out how to do it for North Shore women, meaning women who lived in Evanston and Nutrier Township. And we just, it's just morphed.
What did they want? What more did they want?
So we actually did a substantial survey. When you're doing anything in media, as you know, it's all about the demographics
right,
in the survey.
Right.
And the number one thing was 92% of them would change their brand loyalty if they thought it would make the world a better place. And they go out of their way to make life better, not just for themselves, but for others.
So they're attracted to a brand that has that quality.
Deep in their DNA. And because we launched this 10 years ago, this is before it was about the same time that the iPhone was launched and Facebook was just starting to take off. So think about what someone called it a weblog as opposed to a website.
Right.
And we didn't really know what would come, but we knew that they wanted to be fit, they liked to eat, they liked their family education and health.
It's a little bit more lifestyle, yeah.
And it was very much about how do you use the internet to amplify volunteering, philanthropy, fundraising. So we sort of deeply embedded that in our DNA, and we actually grew by being a media sponsor of every little nonprofit that came along and said, oh, could you please tell the story about our fundraiser? And that's the thing
really? Okay.
That differentiated us from everyone else. And that's the thing that people love the best. So our mission is to be the most trusted, easiest to use community resource and magazine that helps you make your life and the lives of others better. And that's our real point of differentiation.
Well, I mean, it also ties into this concept, and I mentioned in the lead, this idea of social entrepreneurship, which is something we do as a business segment on the show. We have a lot of entrepreneurs on. So explain the concept of social entrepreneurship and how that's different than just regular run-of-the-mill entrepreneurship.
So thanks for asking. By the way, 10 years ago, I didn't know what a social entrepreneur was, and it was about 3 years ago I was like, oh, we're social entrepreneurs. The concept is you are looking for the maximum impact on others and on their lives and the maximum good for your dollar, for your minute, for your hour. And when you watch what's happening in business, more and more the businesses that are succeeding, like the Whole Foods, Starbucks, have a deeply embedded social impact. You know that when you go in, you might be spending a little bit more, but you're supporting a family,
right,
a local farm. So that's
so it's really about company or starting a business because and giving back. The idea that not only are you making a profit, but you're giving back to some part. You're trying to make someone else better.
Exactly. And I actually think it's deep in all of our DNAs. We want to do that. We want to do the most we can with our dollars and our time.
Is there a challenge to that as an entrepreneur, someone who's starting a media company, that if you're going to go into that area and you're going to give back in certain, is it just the idea that perhaps, you know, you're giving some of your profits away to charity? I mean, is the challenge just financial? What are some of the challenges of keeping up with growth and all the other things when you're in the realm of social entrepreneurship?
Such a good question. I think it's a slower start. I think that you don't make money as fast, but I think that in the long run, you are more successful and you attract higher quality customers. So I look at who our deeply embedded advertising and marketing partners are, and I am so proud of who they are. They're really the leaders in whatever their industry is. Are you familiar with the book by Adam Grant, Give and Take?
Not Give and Take, but we had Adam Grant on the show. We were talking about, I can't remember, I'll look it up in the break, but we had Adam on as a guest, yeah.
Oh, I envy you. Yeah. I interviewed him once for when he spoke at Nutrier, and I am such his fan. And his philosophy in Give and Take, it is that the true leaders are the ones who are the givers, but it's a slower start. Instead of 3 years to success, it's 8 years to success.
And I would assume that probably gets in the way of some entrepreneurs' idea of what success is. If they have to wait 8 years instead of three, they're not cut out for the idea of social entrepreneurship.
Unless you're counting lives made better. So that's kept me going, you know, that I didn't get to profit fast, but And I still see that. I see the social impact, and that's why our community keeps growing. Others see it too.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about content versus community, or how they interact with each other. Which one, you know, when you as a content creator and you create a whole website and obviously the magazine Make It Better. I mean, you're putting a lot of stuff out. Is the content, I mean, when you're inside the magazine or inside the company, is content the king? Is that the first things first? Because you'll hear that. They write it up on the chalkboard at the, you know, at the Sun Tribune or the Sun-Time, content is king. Or is community king in this case? And that's what we'll talk about. Susan Noyes is my guest. Make It Better is the media company we're talking about. She's my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Susan B. Noyes, my guest in studio. She's the founder of Make It Better Media and Make It Better, the Make It Better Foundation. Make It Better, you got your big newest magazine, the new issue, the July-August, Make It Better, the best of 2016. It's really the poll. You put out the survey for the best of this, best of that, and it's coming out this week. Magazine production, what a business, huh?
A complicated one, a lot of moving parts.
I want to get into your story because you were a lawyer, you're a labor lawyer who decided to take time off for your family. And how did you find your way to running a media company?
It's a journey. When I took time off to raise my family, I didn't know I was going to do this, but I ended up having six kids because I was enjoying it. And by the time the oldest one was going off to college, the youngest was in about third grade, and I thought, okay, I need my what's next. I have a lot of energy. And I thought, I have the opportunity to practice what I've been preaching to my kids. Find what you love, and the rest will follow. But I that actually launched me on about a two-year journey of, okay, so what do I love?
Right. How did you come? I mean, what was your first thought on that? We're all going through that ourselves in any form.
I love to organize a lot of moving pieces. Okay. I love to write. I love the power of stories. I was doing a lot of community service and philanthropy and board service. And then I read Katharine Graham's autobiography. And I was like, that's it. I can do all the things that I love and be a publisher and really have some impact. And that was the thing that, you know, turned that switch.
What it surprises me when I read about the about Make It Better and is about how much the word connector is thrown around. You know, when we talk about media companies, it's always there's different ways to tell stories and there's different job titles. And you can see it at either here or at the Tribune sometimes, whatever. But connector, tell us about why it's important for you and for anyone who works at Make It Better to be a connector.
Oh, that's... You ask good questions. So it was just embedded in our DNA, too. So when we launched the website 10 years ago, we reached out and said, hey, are you a community connector? Do you care what's going on in your community?
What's a connector? What does that mean?
It's a person who just naturally facilitates the connection of people and ideas that belong together. So, and it's what you do It's what a good marketer does.
Right.
It's what a good fundraiser does.
It's
also what great civic leaders do. They understand how to connect the businesses and the thought leaders to try to solve a problem and move this world forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. I know that starting in 2007 and what you wanted to do with it took, I don't know if it took a turn or it amplified in 2009 when you took over, you bought North Shore Magazine. For a lot of people who know Chicago media, that was a big staple. That was a big magazine in Chicago. People knew it. Tell us about that. Tell about the idea of expanding your company to the way where you were going to start to grab properties outside of Make It Better.
Thank you for asking. So when we launched that website, I had Medill School of Journalism and the Media Management Center approach me and say, like, we really like what you're doing with the website, so could our graduate students for a whole quarter adopt it and study it and come back with some recommendations? And it's sort of like having a McKinsey
You'll take
study.
It, right,
yeah,
sure.
Right? And at the end of the quarter, they came back and said, well, you need to reorganize it this way, but you're really on to something. And by the way, you should do a print magazine. Savvy advertisers still want to reach your demographic, which is these affluent suburban moms, and those women love a nice quality magazine. So at the time, as you mentioned, I was writing a column in North Shore Magazine, and I actually negotiated a contract to buy North Shore Magazine. And that's when, oh my God.
That's quite to be the columnist, to be like, you know what, I'm not just going to write the column, I'm going to buy the magazine too.
Well, but what happened was, this is when Conrad Black was the owner, and you know, the numbers were really funny. So I did the due diligence and walked away from that, and ended up, and about 3 or 4 months later, the man who was the publisher of the Pioneer Press then, his name was Larry Green, who was a brilliant publisher, Sun-Times fired him. I reached out to Larry and said, I think I want to launch a fresh new magazine. Will you help? So hired him, launched the magazine, and then 10 months later had, at that time, Mizero Financial had purchased Sun-Times.
Right, right.
And they approached me and said, you're putting us out of business, so wouldn't you like to buy the assets anyway? And I was able to buy it for one-tenth of that original negotiated contract.
Wow, there you go, contract. See? Well, I mean, and to become at that moment to have that property in, to talk about, you know, expanding Make It Better, to be able to grab the things that North Shore Magazine had, circulation, marketing, newsletter, all that kind of stuff. I mean, as someone
who's, and 30 years of history.
And 30 years,
right?
Of history.
So,
what was the emotion around that? The idea, what was the feeling at that moment of having that come into your company? Because it takes you from a website, we just started a publishing company, but now you're a player.
Exactly. It felt great. And when I walked away from that first contract, I actually hurt for about 3 weeks because I really didn't want to do that. So I was so excited. Thank you very much for asking.
I like how grateful you are for the questions.
Yeah.
Let's take that. All right. So, you know, as much as we're celebrating the idea of putting Make It Better in magazine form and taking over North Shore, it's still a magazine. And, you know, as we've heard so much about print and the decline of print and how difficult it is for people to continue to put things on paper, especially when you have such a successful operation online, do you feel the same crunch? I mean, as Make It Better? I mean, because you have this great glossy magazine, I'm holding the new one in my hand. Do you still feel the crunch of, you know, this is great, but it takes a lot to put this together?
We do. We absolutely feel the crunch. And you will see in this next issue a request to our audience to say, listen, we actually could do better if we discontinued the print magazine.
Really?
But we know that a lot of you really like it. So there are things that you could do to help make this continue. And we put a survey out there. A simple thing to do, I don't know how much you know about print and mailing, but
no.
if our audience just checks, yes, I request to receive this, and 50% plus one of the total number we mail are requested, we cut our mailing cost in half.
Wow.
So that's a big chunk of money right there at $1 a copy.
Yeah, right. I mean, and if they come back tomorrow, if you get all these back in and say, you know, we really love this, we don't want to lose it, and it's cost prohibitive, meaning, you know, it's tough to put this together, like you said. I mean, do you stick with what your audience wants? Do you, or do you have to sort of, you know, give them some bad medicine. It's just like, hey, listen, this is good for you, but we're not going to do the magazine anymore.
Well, it's, as you know, in media and publishing, it is a balance of what do they want and what's good business decision. And we want to do the most good for the most people we can with every little
But what I like about Make It Better, whether it be the magazine or whether it be the content or whatever, we'll get into the content as well, but just the idea that there is a real, I mean, you're paying attention to what the audience is consuming, their patterns, their demographics. You are taking the analytics that are provided to you and you're applying them. You're draping it over the content. So, I mean, in a way, I love the idea that you're saying, do you want this anymore?
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's great.
But if you don't, then right. Why are we doing it? But because we could do more for you and give you what you want.
But the problem, I guess, at the end of the day, and this is where maybe it's a social entrepreneur problem that's very specific, is that Tribune or Sun-Times, if they're going to discontinue, they're going to do it whether the audience likes it or not. They're most interested in their bottom line. The question I have for you is just, at the end of the day, even if they all came back and said, we love it, we want to keep it, and it hurts your bottom line as a company, do you have to part ways with the philosophy of giving the customer what they want?
No. What I'm saying is if our audience wants it, they're either going to say, yes, enough of us are going to request it, or we're actually asking, will you spend money for this? And I hear this all the time, anecdotally, which is a very different thing than doing the
survey. Yeah.
The survey. But people are always coming up and saying, we love the magazine. Why don't you charge for it?
Like, so you're gonna,
where do you ever hear that anymore in this world, right?
Yeah, it's true. Susan B. Noyes is the founder of Make It Better Media and Make It Better, the Make It Better Foundation. Of course, Make It Better, the magazine, the website, the new electronic newsletter. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back, and I want to ask the question about content and community, and you know, ask you other questions about, you know, some of the challenges for media companies in this day and age. Susan B. Noyes, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Susan B. Noyes is my guest tonight. She's the founder of Make It Better Media and the Make It Better Foundation. We're talking about the magazine. We're talking about the website, the newsletter that really connects the Chicago area. It started as really a website to connect the northern suburbs and primarily women in the northern suburbs. You have a 92%, you know, reading your media kit today, and it's 92% female readership. Is that by design? I mean, are you still at this as you reach out and you expand? Is it a media property for women?
We started as a media property for women. We actually know that our online audience is almost 40% male.
Really?
They want to know where to eat and how to make their family life better too. So we are intentionally expanding to cover more subjects that men are interested in, but we are trying not to lose that original female-centric vision because it's working for us.
Right. Particularly for you as someone who now you're celebrating your 10th anniversary, is there a particular style when you talk about lifestyle media companies that are geared towards women? I mean, you know exactly what they want, especially talking about northern suburbs, you know, the women that live in that area. I mean, have you, from doing this for 10 years, you know exactly what they want?
I'm going to bet that when I describe our core audience, it sounds like your wife and some of the other women that you know too. Fitness is really important. Exercise and healthy diet, meaningful experiences, travel, their home, and how you decorate your home. But really, it's about being a lifelong learner, education, and taking proactive care of your health, and reaching out and lifting up others in the process. So we're taking care of our kids, and we're taking care of our friends, and we're taking care of our husband and our schools and our nonprofits. And if there's a little bit of time left over, we take care of ourselves. It is food, fitness, fashion, home, ways to make a difference, and money. Money, money, money. We are all about talking to women about money. And there's a lot of opportunity to do that.
That has to become more and more as this media landscape becomes online. Mm-hmm. the competition for those marketplaces are much more fierce than they ever have been. I mean, you see now, even you think about, there will be political sites that are for women. There will be, you know, sports sites that are for women. I mean, the market has been sort of fractured down to demographics, and we see it in all sorts of sites. Is it? Do you notice that in the landscapes? It's become tougher to be able to retain the audience and community that you fostered over 10 years?
No. Thank you for asking that, too. When new people join the email newsletter, they don't all stay. When new people come find their way to the site, they don't all always return. But we have a core audience who's been loyal from the start. And as others who are similar to them, similar demographics, find their way, they usually keep coming back too. So, and our point of differentiation isn't just that we write about those things just for them. We write about those things for them, for their families, and we always embed a way that you can click here and know that it's going to make the world a better place.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I mean, you're competing with the Real Simples and the apartment therapies of the world. And I mean that in the way that that more and more women who are sampling media sites, like I said, I mean, they can go anywhere. And there are brands that can get so particular to even a very small swath of age. You know, so this is really great for 21 to 24. This is really great from 30 to 33. It's amazing to think what has happened with the online media landscape.
So what I can tell you is that there's a broad swath of sites that do new moms and preschools and younger moms, but there really isn't quite what we do. And it by the time it's middle school, your kids are middle school age and on, we don't have a lot of competitors, and that's
interesting.
That's a good point of differentiation.
Where do you think lifestyle sites, for someone who's done one for 10 years, where do they go wrong? Where does, when I think of products and properties, and even the local ones, I mean, what are they doing that if you were in charge of them, you would correct?
Well, first of all, I think too much talk about luxury is actually wrong. I think that everyone, the true luxury is time. And we're not just spending money to be seen looking good. The luxury is make it easier for me to have a great experience. Make it easier for me to, have clothes and items in my home that feel good and look good. But I'm not looking for that, what used to be the lux, you know.
Mm-hmm. And The $1,000 dress that, or thousand, geez.
Exactly.
10,000. Yeah.
And you can even see that with Princess Kate in England. It's been fascinating to watch her show up in Target-like outfits, too, with her jewels. So that's one. So it's not all about luxury. And audience actually is really smart. So if you give them advertorial, but it's not marked that, it doesn't take them very long to understand
that. Figure that out.
Somebody else has bought this. This isn't really.
Do you? I mean, is that something, you know, is in that space, in that lifestyle space, and make it better just like everywhere else? I mean, there's a lot of advertisers who want to do that kind of stuff. They want to do that advertorial, as you say. I mean, they want to do it where it fits to the feel, or they want it to be an ad that looks like a story. And we see that all the time. Do you, as a publisher and as a founder, you have to kind of push back on that?
No, I just make more money for it because we clearly market sponsored content. So we make it obvious that's what it is. But if it's written in our voice and with our style, and it's an advertiser that we're proud to work with, and it actually, we always think about, we are solving problems. What's the evergreen problem that we're writing about that somebody wants to solve? Breast cancer,
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So that's it's we're flipping that model too. Like, happy to do it if you're good enough for us, and we're going to charge you more for the sponsored content.
And I would assume that, I mean, if you're going to be in the market of social entrepreneurship, Make It Better is all about making lives better. Do you have a standard or an ethic when it comes to someone who comes in and goes, yeah, I sell cigarettes, booze, and, like everything that's an antithesis of what Make It Better is? I mean, do you have some sort of ethic to say that's not something for our magazine?
Yes. And we just use it as a filter. And we talk about it actually as a company. Okay, do we want to take this alcohol brand on? Some we do and some we don't. And there's values embedded in it. We now have a growing relationship with the casino, the River.
Rivers.
Yeah. And they had to explain to us how they make the world a better place for real before we would take that on. So it's...
When we talk content, and, you know, because I look at the site and there's great stuff, not just in the magazine, but on the site. I mean, the newsletter just came out, had a lot of recipes around avocados, which was great. But when you talk about so much about community and so much about the following and so much about making it almost clearing a space for a demographic. What's the most important thing? Is it content or is it that community? Meaning, are you making sure you have the best content possible on the site? Or is at the end of the day, it's more of the experience for the community that surrounds the site?
So that's such a good question. And it's something that we wrestle with because we do aspire to grow beyond here. And we know that we have people who find their way to our site from the coast and other places. Mundelein. So we make sure that at least 3/5 of our content or 3/5 of every story online is nationally relevant. So as long as we are citing the national thought leaders, in addition to whoever the local leader is, right, then we feel like we're serving both.
We hear so much about media properties in this town. We hear, you know, when you hear about who's going to buy this paper or what's happening as a paper tries to shift from the newsprint to digital. You know, I mean, Chicago is known in some ways as a media town. Do you feel like you fit in with that that saying? Like, do you feel it make it better is part of the media ecosystem that includes the big papers and the alt weeklies and all the other things that are happening in this town?
I do, and I think that's in part because we're so different from the rest of them. So, first of all, female owned and primarily female driven is different than most of the others. And we think about what we're doing as creating virtuous circles. And there are other media companies that tell stories about solving a problem in the city and who's coming together to make it happen. But like, we do it with every single action and every single story, and nobody else is doing that. And so it's a point of difference that works. You know, Chicago is the most philanthropic city in the United States by 50%.
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So the Chicago Community Trust commissioned a study to celebrate their, I think, 75th or 100th anniversary from the Lilly Family School of Philanthropy at Indiana University because they wanted to make sure that they celebrated by making Chicago the most philanthropic city in the country. And IU did the study for 9 months, came back and said, guess what?
You are. Right.
By 50%. Most of the cities, it's 2% of the corporations or 2%. Corporations give 2%. The individuals give 2%. We are closer to 3%, 50% more philanthropic. Wow. And I think it has something to do with the Midwesternness and the other centeredness of good Midwesterns. But that also means that Make It Better really does belong here. I don't think it's a surprise that we started here. And I think that that's another point of difference that allows us to be in here as a media property in this media-centric city.
I always think about, that's a great point, the idea of philanthropy.
We solve problems here.
If you are a media entity that part of the business structure is that you're not only serving up content or you're telling the stories of not only food and lifestyle and things that are around you, but you're trying to get the community to go one step further and believe in the things that are going to make this city better. Tell me from the 10 years of experience of doing that and having a community that is really at the center of this philanthropic movement, the idea that Chicago is better than everywhere else. What does that? What moves people? What moves people to reach into their pocket and say, you know, this is a cause that I'm interested in. This is something, you know, I read this article. I definitely want to move here. I mean, you've studied the demographics and the analytics. What is it that gets someone who's a Make It Better reader to actually go one step further and give back to their community?
So I would say three things. One is a well-told story. make them laugh, make them cry, make them think and want to take action. You know, it's hard for you to read about a child who's had something horrific to them and someone swooped in and helped and now their parents are trying to raise money to make it possible for other kids to have something similar. So that engaging story, that moves you story, that's one. Absolutely, and in this city it's really true, it needs to feel like venture philanthropy. In other words, you need to prove that the money is going to be really well spent. We have, through a Make It Better Foundation and our philanthropy awards, we've sort of identified five things that we know help people believe that whatever the nonprofit is, they think like a venture philanthropy, and so they'll trust it more. And the third is connection. There's somebody that you trust has reached out to you and said, this is really a good cause to support. Wouldn't you join me in that?
Yeah.
So those are the three things I think work.
Susan, for you, I mean, we started this kind of conversation really tonight talking about, you know, the venturing out and starting a career after your youngest was in third grade. And what you told us is follow your heart and follow your passion. Is this your passion? I mean, after 10 years of doing this work, I mean, do you feel like you are following your heart, that this is what you envisioned in your head when you realized you had to move on to the next thing?
So can I tell you that sitting here talking to you and answering your questions, my heart is singing. So I think so, yes. Is it hard? Has this journey been hard? Yes. And there are times I'm like, oh my God, you know, I feel like Moses wandering in the desert for 40 years. So I think I'm still doing it.
Susan B. Noyes is the founder of Make It Better Media and the Make It Better Foundation. You can find, I mean, it's a website, it's a newsletter, just look it up, makeitbetter.net, right?
Subscribe to Make It Better. It's the Better Letter. It comes out twice a week. Please help us grow and
there
grow
you go.
The good too.
The Better Letter. Susan B. Noyes, my guest tonight, celebrating 10 years of Make It Better. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin. Really enjoyed it.